Well, we'll be live from Mic Drop Comedy Club in San Diego. First, there's Geico.
Do you own? Do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
Hi, this is Jillian. Those of us here at Court Junkie have a new podcast called Civil, where we dive into fascinating civil cases. Like in the case of a principal who took it upon himself to hypnotize students as a hobby. Then many of those students ended up dead. Or when a man was publicly and wrongfully accused of being the I-10 freeway shooter. We'll also be covering popular civil cases you've likely heard of, like O.J. Simpson and Alex Jones versus the parents of Sandy Hook.
This is AC. I have O.J. in the car.
Sandy Hook, it's got inside job written all over.
Hosted by me, Jillian Jalali, researched by Nicole Gusmerati, and written by Matt Stroud and Nick Kepler. If you like following criminal trials like I do, I think you will love Civil. Subscribe to us now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Mic Drop Comedy in San Diego, California. This is The Adam Carolla Show. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a Halloween edition of Blah Blah Blog. And now, being this close to the border, he feels like a male Kamala Harris. Adam Carolla!
Thanks for coming out tonight. I'll bring Gene and Ball down, just a couple of few. I just thought I would, there it goes, share a few thoughts. What? Wow, you got a nice charcuterie platter here. I may be dipping. Got a knife and fork out to eat a meatball sub. I don't know if that's gay or the straightest thing I've ever seen in my life. Because sometimes they commingle like chaps and things of that nature. But speaking of food, I did want to get out of the gate talking about this because we've got to wrestle this country back from who's ever making the menu in San Francisco and then ruining the rest of our lives with it. Which is, I'm staying at a nice hotel resort, and I love the idea of eating brunch. Brunch is, I never really thought about this. But the reason brunch is great is because all other meals are just the meal, but brunch suggests an activity. You know what I mean? Like, breakfast is breakfast. You all had fucking breakfast before you went to your horrible school when you're 11, and now you have breakfast before you go to your horrible job in the morning, right? But brunch is, I don't know, I'm not doing anything. Are you doing anything? I don't know. We should get drunk while the sun is up. We're not... It suggests, it suggests a certain station in life you've gotten to. Like, you think about, you know, no one in Ukraine is eating brunch right now. They're eating breakfast, lunch, and dinner, but there is no brunch on any menu, as far as I can tell. So you've gotten yourself to a certain place in society, and then you've gotten to a certain station in life where you can enjoy brunch. But here's the thing. When it comes to brunch and or breakfast, the fucking best part of it to me is the hash browns. I love hash browns. I love the alchemy of hash browns. I like the hash browns here. I break off a little island of it. You know, you bust off a piece, and then you have it do a drive-by. Let it go by the ketchup. Let it just dip its shoulder into a little Tabasco. Oh, what do we got here? A little runny egg yolk? Yeah, I'll slide in. Wet. Just get a little moistened from that. And then you get this great combination, and then it all goes into your mouth. But when you go to nice places, you can no longer get hash brown potatoes anymore. You get new potatoes or purple potatoes or breakfast potatoes. I checked the menu. I wrote it down. I gotta go to the fucking Denny's across the street. I can't go. They're called morning potatoes where I'm at. You know that's already got disappointment in the title, right? Morning potatoes. Morning potatoes are called fucking hash browns, you assholes. That's what morning potatoes are. We've already invented them. And if you don't like hash browns, then you don't like fucking breakfast and you can fuck right off. And I just want a kind of a minimum. My microphone is stuck underneath this amp here. But my feeling is, you highfalutin homos from San Francisco, you do whatever the fuck you want with potatoes as long as you offer hash browns. Once you offer hash browns, then you knock yourself out by cubing them or mourning them or purpling them or whatever the fuck you want to do. You want to go full Prince on your potatoes and do purple potatoes? You do whatever potatoes you want. Once I can get my hash browns, I feel the exact same way about iced tea versus passion fruit iced tea. Once I can get regular iced tea, like Aunt B used to make in Mayberry with a lemon wedge, after that, you can fucking take all the hot water and put it through a potpourri-filled sock and do whatever the fuck you want with it. You must offer me what I want first, and then you go knock yourself out with your highfalutin California bullshit. Thank you. Powerful. I know. All right. I'm not a hero. Well, I'm kind of a hero. All right. Now, I was driving around yesterday listening to the 90s channel, and I just want everyone here to prepare to feel old. I was listening to the 90s channel, and I heard this Cher song, which I have played on stage before. Doss, you have that?
Yep, it's going.
Oh, there it is. Sorry. You guys remember this one? All right. Come on, where are my gay guys? All right. So, you're prepared to feel old. This is Cher's big comeback after, you know, gypsies, tramps, and thieves, and half-breeds, and all that stuff. All right, you want to feel old? This song's 5 years old. You know how fucking old we are? This is Cher's new song. Cher's new song is 25 years old, and this sounds like Cher's brand new song to me. That's how goddamn old I am. It's good. What can we say? All right. All right. right. What else? All right. All right. You can cut it. Come on. I drove out from L.A., and I've been driving out from L.A. to, where are we, San Diego? But not to, I never hung out in San Diego. I hung out in Tijuana. I just parked in San Diego and took a cab to Tijuana, and then, you know, you don't want to drive your car in. By the way, that's not a good sign for a nation, is it? Like, the two bad signs are like, well, if you're going to go to, you know, they do this thing all the time. If you're going to go to Rio de Janeiro, you got to bring a fake wallet with you. So when you get rolled and a styrofoam cell phone, like, I'm like, maybe I don't want a honeymoon at a place where I have to show up with a fake wallet and a fake cell phone. So when we get rolled, but Tijuana's that way too, right? It's like, don't drive your car into Tijuana. Just park it in San Diego and just take the taxi. But used to take about an hour, 45 minutes to drive out here. Then it's an hour, then it's 2 hours. But here's the thing about this. The show is in the evening, and I'm in L.A., and I'm like, oh, good. I can drive out, just get there before the show, and, you know, I got all afternoon in L.A. Au contraire, because if you leave at 10 in the morning, it takes you 2 hours and 25 minutes to get here. But if you leave at 11, it takes 2:45. And if you leave at noon, it takes 3 hours and 15 minutes. And if you leave at 4 when I want to leave, it takes 26 hours to get here. So you have to get here 7 hours early for the show, otherwise you'll spend those 7 hours stuck in fucking traffic. Let's see. Halloween's coming up. Oh, God, this is a weird one. I was wanting to watch that movie, that new Nick Cage movie, The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. Have you guys seen that movie? Now, I'm not saying it's a bad movie. I'm not saying it's a bad movie. But anyone seen that movie, The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent? Okay. You remember about 25 minutes into the movie, he's talking to the guy who's hosting him at his house, and he goes, what are your top three favorite movies of all time? And the guy goes, I don't know what the first two was. I think they cut around that. But he said number three was Paddington Bear. Paddington Bear. But he's serious. It's a good movie. I've never seen it. But the third time, the guy said to the guy, said to Nick Cage, I like Paddington Bear too. He said, that is my third favorite movie of all time. It was at that point I stopped watching The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent and decided to watch Paddington Bear, which I had thoroughly enjoyed. I so didn't like this movie that 28 minutes in, I watched a movie they jokingly suggested to watch instead. And enjoyed the shit out of that little bear. He stole my heart. All right, should we bring out Gina and Bald Brian to the stage? They're back there somewhere. Gina and Bald, Oh, you know, take this mic. I'll give it to Gina because I think my mic's got that slack on it. Why don't you sit in the middle, Gina? Because I'm missing some slack on my mic. But anyway,
I'll take the shoddy one.
Yeah, I watch Paddington Bear.
I'm so goddamn thrilled. Yes. That's a wonderful movie.
Right,
it's,
but
it's
here's
really
the
good.
Here's the deal. I've made a movie or two. But in the middle of the movie, I didn't yell, I wish I was watching Con Air. Because I feel like it would have driven a certain percentage of people away from my product and over to Con Air. And when they were arguing over the top three movies of all time, after Paddington Bear came up for a third time, I was like, I'll check that out.
They're like, where's it streaming?
Yeah,
and I did.
Right now.
It's very delightful.
Everyone says it's delightful.
I loved it. I watched it. I loved it. It's a great movie.
I saw the first one, though. I didn't go see the second one, which they suggested in the movie.
They're equally good. They're equally good. Second one might be a little better, but you're dealing with A and A+.
Wow.
I was not expecting this conversation.
They're really good.
Yes. And listen, a good movie is a good movie. I've seen gay porn that I love just because of the craft.
I like when they're in the barn. I mean, I don't know.
Panty Bears, I don't know, it's a kid's book that they fashioned into a movie, but they hit it out of the ballpark.
Tomorrow night, are you going to critique Lyle Lyle Crocodile?
Yes, I will be watching that at a nearby cinema. All right, you guys drove in today.
Yep. Sure did.
Everything good?
It is so goddamn clean down here. It's unreal.
That's not a compliment.
I came with my husband, and I was just like, we found it. We're here. We're never going home. We live here now.
Well, okay. Let me just say a few things about living in L.A. It kind of reminds me of my childhood, which is like when I was like 11, I would show up at other people's houses and I'd be like, you guys have pictures up of your family and
places you've been.
Somebody's cooking pork chops. What the fuck is going on over here, man? And then I'd go to someone else's house and I'd go, you guys got pictures up and somebody's making meatloaf. And then I'd go, by the time I got to the fifth house where they had pictures up and people cooked dinner, I was like, wait a minute, maybe my home is uniquely fucked up. Maybe all these other places aren't the outlier.
Right.
Maybe my home is uniquely fucked up. And I'm starting to think about that with L.A. Because you go to Utah, you go to Denver, you come to San Diego, and you're like, whoa! And there's no shopping carts, missing wheels on the side of shit.
It's a utopia.
Right. No one has made a house out of refrigerator boxes. What's going on in this place?
Hardly any feces.
Yeah. Right.
Nary a pile of shit in San Diego.
So, L.A., I shout about this all the time, which is we look at ourselves as the vanguard of the environment. You know what I mean? Like there's, you know, you can say, well, California is sort of on the tip of the spear, the climate change and the environmental movement and stuff like that. But L.A. is probably, you know, worldwide, you know, close to the top of cities that are most concerned about climate and environment and everything. Why is your fucking garbage everywhere?
And if you want a third eye, go swim at the Santa Monica Pier.
Oh,
you will have gills within moments.
Yeah, what? Why so much trash in the, you know, shining city atop the mountain? I don't get it.
Are we so committed to composting we do it everywhere?
Yes.
That's a good point. On every sidewalk?
Yeah, every corner.
Well, how would it work from a trash standpoint, if you just had tons of homeless people without any services? You know what I mean? Like, what if everyone in your neighborhood lived on their lawn and there was no more garbage men coming to your house? Wouldn't it be a shit show?
You're describing Gina's neighborhood.
You're describing Valley Village.
Well, I give this speech, speaking of this, every year, but it just popped in my head. Now, this show will air on Halloween, right? Right, so Halloween's coming around. Now, I say this all the time, and everyone thinks I'm a dick when I say it. I say it every year. I live in a nice neighborhood with people who take care of their trash and their lawns and their curb appeal, and every year I see the kids from the shit neighborhoods showing up in a minivan, getting dropped off to eat all of Rich Whitey's candy, and then back in the minivan and back to the hood. I am telling you, you should all be forced to trick or treat in your own piece of shit neighborhood. You fucking walk across enough dirt lawns, see enough dead cats on sofas that have been abandoned on porches, and you'll think to yourself, you know, maybe we should clean it up a skosh around here.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not just Halloween that makes it scary. It's any given Wednesday night.
Right. That is right. All right. Now, Dawson is here in person, right, Dawson?
Yeah, boss.
And you have, we doing Blah Blah Blog?
Yeah, we're doing a special Halloween edition of Blah Blah Blog today. This is essentially people's final blog. We're going to see what's written on dead people's tombstones.
Oh, my God.
Oh, sweet.
Wow. This is morbid.
Tonight, a special edition of Blah Blah Blog, where we name that tombstone.
Oh my God.
Dawson.
So, yes.
How stoned were you when you laid down that track?
Oh, you know, I'm always stoned, but I was above average then.
I figured.
These are the final tweets by people who then died.
Essentially, yes.
Wow.
First tombstone says, "There goes the neighborhood."
Oh, shit.
Is it Rodney Dangerfield, Mr. Rogers, or Ted Knight?
Whoa. All right, so.
This is bizarre.
Ted Knight was.
This is their actual tombstone.
Ted Knight is Caddyshack, Mary Tyler Moore.
Right.
700. Love Boat episodes, and Too Close for Comfort.
And he was in the movie Weird Al, UHF.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That's all I can think of.
All right. So, and then there's Mr. Rogers, and then who's the first
one? Rodney Dangerfield.
Rodney Dangerfield. All right, so it's funny, like a Rodney Dangerfield thing. Then what's Ted Knight doing on there?
Did Mr. Rogers tweet?
There is 0% chance this is Mr. Rogers.
All right, so
which
now...
Which makes it Mr. Rogers.
All right. It feels a little Rodney Dangerfield-y, but he died it's been a minute now,
right? Point. Was Twitter around?
Has he been dead for 10 years?
These are not tweets.
These are actual tombstones.
This is what's written on their tombstones.
You've said it
which,
three
by
times.
The way... I thought that's what the original premise was, but then when Brian altered it, it made sense to me, too. All right, these are the tombstones.
Yeah, that's why they're so short. They're like 15 characters.
Got it,
okay. All right.
It's got to be Rodney. I say Rodney.
All right, you say Rodney. I'll say Ted Knight just because he shouldn't be on there.
Well, there is no fucking way I'm saying Fred Rogers, so I'm also going Rodney Dangerfield.
The tombstone belongs to... Rodney Dangerfield.
Good, good.
Makes sense.
Next up, I may be gone, but rock and roll lives on. Is it John Bonham, John Belushi, or Joey Ramone?
Wow.
Are these tombstones pre-written? How does this work?
They're off the rack?
Yeah.
I assume you must make your wishes known because you don't want anyone freestyling on your tombstone.
It's not
or
the time.
Speculating. I already got mine worked out about hash browns.
All right, John Bonham.
John Belushi.
John Belushi.
Or Joey Ramone.
Kind of feels Joey Ramone-y.
I was thinking the same thing. He has the sense of grandeur, right? Like that. I may not be here, but you guys are still allowed to rock.
I guess. And they did write that killer song about a pet cemetery.
Yeah. Right.
Well, look, I didn't like the song much, but it's really... there's only a handful of good songs about pet cemeteries. And this is definitely in the top 15.
Yeah. Easily.
Easily. Maybe top 11. I'll go Joey Ramone, too.
As will I.
I'm going Belushi. Yeah.
The tombstone belongs to John Belushi.
Yes.
Gina, 2 for 2.
Next up. Let her rip. Is it Robin Williams, Leslie Nielsen, or Joe DiMaggio?
Wow.
Was that like his catchphrase? Is that a baseball thing?
I have some insight here, but I'm wondering if Lynch knows about my insight and thus is sending us backwards. Leslie Nielsen was a huge fan of fart humor.
Oh, really?
Is Mike Lynch aware that you are aware of
him? He might be, because Leslie Nielsen came into our radio show in like 2007, and the guy brought a machine that made like fart noises. He like, as though I can judge, but he put it like around the studio and like compressing the button that made fart noises.
Hey, can I say this? People, farting is funny. It's always funny. It's super funny. Always makes me laugh. A fart. The sound of the fart I find wildly amusing. The smell of the fart, not so much. But the good news is a nice loud fart doesn't always follow with the smell. Sometimes it's just the best part of the fart, the sound of the fart minus the stench of the fart. And then I thought, dogs. They need to make a sound when they fart because you need a heads up to leave the room. But they do not make a sound. Does anyone have a dog? Or is there, look, you know, I know there are different breeds of dogs. You know, the one, oh, these ones don't have dander and these ones don't shed.
Right.
Could someone breed a dog where the fart was audible? Yeah. Because we've all had that thing where you're sitting around watching TV with your son and you're then all of a sudden you do that, oh, come on. And the dog's sleeping.
Yeah, not a care in the world.
Right? Not a fucking care in the world. But if there was a breed of dog that made super loud farts, but they didn't smell, then that would be a super entertaining dog.
Hell yes.
That'd be a great dog to have around when couples came over for Thanksgiving or whatever.
Play with the kids.
A dog with an especially tightened anus.
Maybe, yes, maybe teach it to pump its paw just a little bit.
Right.
Time it. So with a dog, you get all the downside of the fart without any of the humor. So I would like a dog that sounded off instead of one that just fucking smelled. Although we do, I think we're a little too judgmental because my dog's farts do smell, but my dog lives on a steady diet of super gross kibble and parts of its own shit that it eats in the backyard.
Yeah, what do you expect?
I would argue if my diet was shitty kibble, parts of my own fecal matter, and toilet water, you'd all be in for a bad day, too.
That's fair.
All right, so Leslie Nielsen loves farting.
Yeah, who are the others?
I'm going to go with Leslie for that reason.
What are the other choices?
Robin Williams and Joe DiMaggio.
DiMaggio. Wasn't he called the Splendid Splinter?
That was Ted Williams.
Oh, that was Ted Williams.
I don't know that Robin Williams was in a particularly jovial place before he died.
Uh-huh.
So yeah. I'm going to eliminate him. Mm-hmm. I usually, as you know, with Rotten Tomatoes, I will do whatever Brian is not alluding to because
True.
He's a fucking liar.
Smart.
But in this case, I think I'm going to go with Brian and say Leslie Nielsen.
Well, Joe DiMaggio is in that Simon and Garfunkel song where they're like, and here's to you, Joe DiMaggio. Seven. You haven't heard that one, right?
If you really turn it up and
listen
to
it. You got to put the treble up, but you will hear.
You got to play backwards.
Yeah. All right. What the hell's Joe DiMaggio doing on this list? I don't know. What was Ted Knight doing on the other list? I get burned by that shit all the time. I'm going Leslie Nielsen as well.
All right. Well, Brian, we just want to shit on your strategy. Lynch hasn't written a game for this show in many years, and Chris Loxamana is very offended right now.
As he should.
I don't know that name.
The tombstone belongs to Leslie Nielsen.
Yeah.
Probably should have saved that educational lecture for the end.
Next up, I will not be back after this message. Is it Larry King, Phil Donahue, or Merv Griffin?
Wow.
So you guys know how Larry King died, right? Somebody grabbed his suspender and pulled it back and let it go. And he just
shot him to the moon.
Went down in a heap.
Fucking.
That man's currently doing a life sentence right now. He was very frail at the end.
Like Thanos snapped his finger.
I imagine having sex with him at the end would have been as close as you could simulate being raped by an ostrich.
Go on.
We're listening.
Well, sometimes I think about sex out of our own species, but I never really want to go there. But that was as close as you could get.
Kind of pecking at you
just
scrawny.
The general vibe. Yeah.
Like having sex with a really aggressive bicycle on its side?
Yes, yes. But an ostrich.
I love the man dearly.
All right. Well, I've done his show many times.
Very nice guy.
Very nice. Always ill-prepared. I love when he would mispronounce everyone's name. That's what I'll miss about the man. Like, he was interviewing Madonna, and he was asking Madonna about her daughter, Lourdes. Lourdes, right. And he goes, Madonna, how's Lourdes doing? She's like, I don't know either one of those two people.
Don't forget, he accused Jimmy.
Oh, DJ Khaled.
Oh, that was another great one.
Oh, when I get to heaven, that's going to be the first thing I'm going to thank the man for.
Let's reenact it. I'll be DJ Khaled.
All right,
because I remember this pretty well.
Yeah.
You got to stay fresh. You got to stay clean. You got to do your thing. I do my thing, and I don't know. You just keep going. Success is always there. I believe in God. I love God.
But why are you so fat? It's great, because once you clear 90, you may as well be 9 in the questions department. You know what I mean? Once you get past 90, you can fucking ask anything you want. And that's he had no governor.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
The best.
All right. So he won't be back. Who we got? Larry King.
Merv Griffin.
Donahue.
And Phil Donahue.
Is Phil Donahue dead?
Very much so.
Is he?
Yeah, right? He would be 115.
Phil Donahue?
Correct.
How dare you?
He is dead.
Is that a COVID death? Because I'm not COVID death, but during COVID.
I don't think so.
I feel like I was supposed to hear about this.
You're right, though. It was in the last few years.
Oh, okay.
It was. I'm going to say Phil Donahue.
I'll go Phil Donahue, too.
I'll go Merv.
All right, everybody. We got some news for you. Phil Donahue is alive.
I should
You motherfucker!
I should get a point for that.
So no. Bald, who?
You should get a point. I said the same thing.
Because he was on when I was on KFI. He was on with Marlo Thomas, and I thought he must have died since then.
You understand? I was going to have to cancel the late show. My first 20 minutes is Phil Donahue humor, so it would have been in horrible taste to get out on stage and regale you with that. How'd you fuck that one up, Chris?
I'm going to take responsibility for that, because Chris had a different name on that list that I didn't like as one of the choices, so I threw out Phil Donahue.
Who was it?
Neither of us checked. We just assumed the man was dead.
Mean. That's just mean.
Who was the one that didn't make the cut?
Who was it? I'm forgetting. We'll figure it out.
Okay.
I just feel like we would have heard if Phil Donahue died.
You're right. I'm wrong. You're right.
But also, when you go gray, when you go full gray at 27, then no one knows how fucking old you are when you're 67 or 81. You know, we just don't. There's no gauging him.
I'm going to change my guess to Phil Donahue.
The name that we took out was Alex Trebek.
Oh,
come on.
Wow.
Such
guys are angry.
All right, so what just happened?
I don't know. Do we start over or are we just eliminated?
No.
Ryan.
I guess Merv.
So what's the answer?
We'll give you guys another chance to guess. Larry King or Merv Griffin?
Well, if it's Merv, you got to give it to Brian. Yeah.
Let's find
it
out.
Is Merv. We'll give it to Brian.
Yeah.
Goddamn right.
Poor Phil.
All right, a new tombstone with three choices that I assure you are dead.
They better be fucking dead.
The tombstone says, "She did it the hard way." Is it Joan Crawford, Joan Rivers, or Betty Davis?
Huh.
Everyone's dead. What are we trying to convey in
That's
this?
What I'm trying to figure out.
Is it a reference to a song lyric or a famous movie quote? I don't know this.
This seems more like a female, the dame in the entertainment business back in the day.
Yeah. I think I'm mathematically out of this, so I'm just going to go with Phil Donahue on this one. Was it Betty Davis, do we say?
Betty Davis or Joan Crawford?
Or Joan Rivers.
Or Joan Rivers.
I'll go Joan Crawford.
Well, if Mommy Dearest is to tell us anything, mm-hmm. she did everything the hard way, mm-hmm. especially raising her daughter.
Yeah.
I am going to say Betty Davis.
I'm going to say Joan Rivers.
The tombstone belongs to Betty Davis.
Yeah.
Yes.
Needed that.
Got that one.
I did.
All right. What are you guys?
We've got a round of six of these. Gina is up by one score. Gina has four. Brian has three. The Ace Man has number one.
Yeah.
Always number one.
Just like Evel Knievel's number plate, bitches.
Our final tombstone. We have a tiebreaker if needed. Here we go. You've come home. Is it Lucille Ball? Michael Landon or John Ritter?
I'm going to go full Landon on this.
That's a good guess. I would have liked that, but I got to go opposite of Gina.
Well, we were just talking about Landon on the show.
What was it called? The Boy Who Peed the Bed?
That was a sub-phrasing. It was The Loneliest Runner.
Right.
But it should have been called The World's Worst Mom. This is a TV movie where his mom would hang his wet, pee-stained sheet off the balcony for the neighborhood kids to see, and he had to sprint home to intercept the sheet before the other kids saw the sheet.
True story, you said.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in Italy, wouldn't they hang the bloody sheet out the window after the wedding night?
I've heard that. Yeah, I don't know that it's true, but I've heard that.
Well, the tradition would be in Italy back in the day on the wedding night, if the guy didn't get a blowjob, he'd punch a bitch in the face and then leave a bloody... And then would hang that out the window. I think that's how the story went.
I think you're right, and that's also how you know there's a new pope?
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah, there was some weird bloody sheet thing. You took the virginity of
to
the whatever.
Prove that, her hymen broke.
But now what do you do if you marry a gal back in the day in Italy and she's been around town a little bit? Do you...
Marinara.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you gotta have to offer something up. Yeah.
Easy.
All right.
Speaking of old Italy, are you familiar with Prima Notte?
No.
Oh, tell them all about it.
Fact check me on this one, because I'm pretty sure it's how it worked back in the old days. If you got married in, like, the kingdom of, old Rome, the emperor or whoever got to have the first shot of the woman.
Or man.
Oh, yeah.
I think they
still do that in the Middle East.
I don't know that to be true.
Well, wasn't it, like, Saddam Hussein's, like, remember Saddam? They would tell stories about Saddam Hussein's, like, son would, like, just walk into a Ritz-Carlton during a wedding and, like, go, hey. You, come out to the van. Yeah. Do you remember? Am I making that up?
That sounds familiar.
I sure hope so.
Yeah, there was some version of that. That's why you always got to go to Vegas, because Saddam Hussein's son. All right. So
there's no jurisdiction there.
I think it was him. I don't know, Chris. Look it up. All right, you guys battle it out.
What are we doing?
You went Landon for the coming home.
You've come home.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So I got to pivot to either Ritter or Lucille Ball?
Yeah.
Okay. I actually know the Ritters a little bit. I don't know them to be especially religious, so I'll say Lucille Ball.
The tombstone belongs to Lucille Ball.
Yeah!
Wow! I did not see that coming.
And we have a tie ball game.
All right,
let's do this.
Right, here we go.
Our tiebreaker for Brian and Gina.
Yes.
The tombstone says,
The greatest honor history can bestow is the title of peacemaker. Is it Winston Churchill?
Saddam Hussein.
Or Richard Nixon?
God.
I mean, I have a guess.
Go ahead.
I'm going to say Churchill.
I mean, it'd be insane if it... Although, it would be insane if it was Nixon, but I'm going to go Nixon.
Well, you have to... That's your last chance at misinformation.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
He escalated the Vietnam War.
I am no longer going to be able to get drunk and walk around parties talking about being all city and having my hands registered in the state of Nevada and banging Morgan Fairchild. Like, it's all done. So whatever I got, it's going to have to be there. It's your last shot at fake news.
You're right.
And the guys, like, if you lived it, you know, I mean, if you were, you know, Tom Brady's not going to have to write hell of a football player on there. He's going to write some bullshit about being a good dad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the guy that had a cup of coffee in the show, made the taxi squad, and got cut from KC after a season and a half. That guy's the guy who needs to sell the football angle, right?
Jerry Rice's tombstone isn't going to say he loved touchdowns.
Yeah, it's going to, again, something about a dad or a husband.
The greatest role
other,
you ever played.
Yeah, some other
father.
Secondary ancillary bullshit to playing football. Right.
He's making your case.
Yeah,
all
making
right,
your case.
All right, before we announce the winner, I just want to say, how in the hell is Phil Donahue still alive?
Poor Phil.
And also, I can't believe Lynch put that in the game. It's crazy. The tombstone belongs to Richard Nixon.
No way!
Paul Bryan.
Wow. No, no, no.
I got both those last two.
So that's who's buried deep within. I hope Bald Brian didn't win.
He had that holstered either way.
I don't like how that's built in.
All right. Yeah, you got. It
takes a lot of skill to win that game like that. A lot of skill.
Yes, the de facto answer. But it does make sense that you have to push against whatever the narrative is. Yeah. You know, OJ's not going to be talking about football. He's going to say, like, now that I'm gone, you must carry on and find the killer.
Right. Yes. Yes.
Here's a hint. Look down.
You know what a trend is on tombstones? Mm. It's a whole TikTok thing. People go. Apparently, people put their like favorite recipe on their tombstone. Like, this was my secret cookie recipe, and they put it on their tombstone. So there are people on TikTok that go around and find those and bake them.
Wow.
Weird.
So just a little something for you guys.
Mine says worm and maggot stew, bitches. I'm too lazy to go to the graveyard and look up people's tombstones.
But I
will pass by the park bench that's dedicated. I like the dedicated park bench. The dedicated park bench is good because it's always the husband and wife. And, you know, Mildred Johnson was born in 1921, and she died in 2017. And then Theodore Johnson was born in 1923, and he died in 1957. It's like, you bitches outlive the dudes by an average of 47 years.
God willing.
Check any park bench with the couple on it.
Good point.
The fucking chick outlives the dude by under over 26 years, 7 months. Like, she just went way into the teens. This guy never used a phone that had a button on it.
Brighton 422, please.
Yeah, probably died.
He dialed.
Dialing.
Right. But you're right, but I have a reason for that. And I know it's so cliche, but I think it's true. Because you guys won't go to the fucking doctor.
It's true. Mm-hmm.
Except for Brian.
That's right.
Seriously, that's right. Though, right? I mean...
That's not a burn. I actually go to the doctor a lot.
Well, because you guys get used to it because you have a vagina.
We do.
And they start looking at it early. We do. And so after that, it's all gravy.
It's a while you're in there.
Right. We do.
Check my elbow.
We're uptight. We don't want them poking around. We don't start with the putting the cameras up the ass until 50.
Right.
And by then, that ship has sailed.
Have you had a prostate exam?
I have. I made it from 0 to 53 with my behymen still intact. Never. Pure as the driven snow. I mean, you couldn't tell by looking at it. But pure as the driven snow.
I know. I saw the sheet hung out of your bedroom window.
Then all of a sudden, you turn 50 and you're supposed to walk around with your pants around your ankles, and a lot of guys are not okay with being probed, and that's what happens. You know?
Was it kind of delightful?
Well, the delightful part was the Jesus juice or the magic milk or whatever Jocko was, right. Jocko was, Michael Jackson was seeing, the propofol. Propofol is, you know what, you know, can I say this about the propofol? Yeah, the government does this shit where they go, all right, you know, they're doing it now in New York. Like they're running PSAs, like in case of a nuclear attack, go inside. Oh, great. So instead of just being burnt to death on the street, I'll die covered with rubble.
Correct.
We'll have to have a cadaver dog come get me versus them just scrape me off the street. All right, so more work. But, I mean, if you think about what they tell you to do, you see all those old films like Duck and Cover, you know, and the kids in the 50s climbing under a school desk. All right, that was, you know, 1957. It's been 70 years. We don't have a better plan.
No.
It's just, it's go inside, or if you can't get inside, stand under an awning.
Yeah, like, that's right.
All right.
Get a doorway.
I should stand in a doorway. Like, it's literally go inside while these nukes are being launched into your town. Here's what I would say, and I would like the government to issue this. Look, we're not going to insult you or waste your time with telling you what to do that will have no... By the way, if going inside worked, we wouldn't have nukes.
No.
That's not how bombing cities works. That's not how Dresden worked in 1944. Hey, German, step inside. You'll be fine.
If you've ever gotten a simple x-ray, the dentist or doctor will seal you in the
yes.
room,
right.
put a lead vest on you,
yeah.
and go across the fucking street.
Right. Right. What the government should do is issue every citizen over the age of 13 just a propofol tablet. And they go, look, you can be indoors, you can be outdoors, you can be under the fucking awning, you put your ass under your school desk, I'll tell you what, it's not going to do shit, but you bite into this pill, and you will not give a fuck. You will not give a fuck if you could watch CNN and see them raining down on Chicago and New York and coming to Los Angeles in 14 minutes. You'd be like, good.
Good. Fast asleep.
It's a great idea.
I've been here too long. Yeah, just everyone gets a propofol tablet. I would just keep it in my cheek.
At all times?
I would. Yeah. Because I've said, I remember on Loveline once... many years ago, there was a famous call where a guy called in. He was like 16, and he goes, yeah, man, my stepdad like walked into the bedroom and saw me and this dude I picked up like doing something. And I was like, oh, man, what was that? He said, it was pretty bad. And I was like, were you like on top of the guy or something like when he walked in? And he was like, no, but it wasn't good. I said, What were you doing when your stepdad walked in? And he said, I had my legs kicked over my head and I was blowing myself and he was beating off. And I was like, that's why you keep the propofol tablet in the cheek, you know what I mean? Like, one minute you're like, Timmy, you like link sausage or patty sausage? Oh, shit! And then you just chomp down. know what I mean?
Makes perfect sense.
Hash browns or cubed potato. Oh, God, no.
That's right.
Do you own? Do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Gather around for Halloween with Pluto TV's 31 Nights of Horror. All month long, Pluto TV is bringing you the best Halloween movies, shows, and more. Watch classic horror movies like The Grudge or The Blair Witch Project, or scream along with your favorite stars like Ryan Reynolds in Life. Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies and TV shows. The best part, it's so free, it's chilling. No credit card, no sign up, no fees. Download the Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start screaming now.
All right, Gina, should we do a little news?
Please.
News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gina Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden. Kamala. Beat news with Gina. Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
I haven't even started. Wow, thank you. Very optimistic about how this is going to go. There's a lot of good reasons to call the cops. We in L.A. experience them almost every day. But a Pennsylvania man who hired a prostitute ended up with a really unhappy ending when he called the cops with a complaint about her services and ended up in jail. Daniel Conrad. Yeah.
What's his name?
Daniel Conrad.
Oh, I thought it was my friend Dave. My friend Dave, I've told you this before, but it's been a while. He got drunk, called a prostitute over to his apartment, got into a fight with the prostitute, didn't want to pay the prostitute. The pimp intervened, and his hand was strong, evidently, threatened my buddy Dave. Buddy Dave had to call the cops essentially on himself because the fear of the pimp was greater than the solicitation. And when the cops were there discussing this with Dave, the backup prostitute who he had called to show up 45 minutes later showed up.
My feelings would be so hurt as the first prostitute.
Yeah.
That he did not think I could get the job done.
She had probably left or fled the scene by then, but the backup, I guess sometimes the first doesn't show up and you want to play it safe.
Are they flaky?
Prostitutes, they're not as punctual as you'd like. For a job that really relies on punctuality.
Is this the same guy who ended up being Citizen of the Year in Santa Monica?
Yes, he was Citizen.
Okay. Unrelated story. So this guy, he contacted a woman through the online service. He paid her $200 to come to his house and do whatever. The woman showed up, took the money, then tried to leave, and he called 911 to report a thief. Not surprisingly, officers showed up at his home, charged him with a number of violations, including hiring a prostitute, holding the woman against her will. She was not charged with any crimes.
I don't know if this is a thing that this woman does frequently, but isn't it a kind of an indictment of you as a man and possibly your dental hygiene when the woman who you've hired to have sex with you just grabs the money and leaves? You know what I mean? Like, if George Clooney swung the door open in a silk robe, don't you think she would have hung out?
That's a freebie.
So I think it's an indictment of the guy, because this can't be a standard business practice. Her name in the whore department would be dragged all over the city and tarnished.
The word of mouth would be terrible.
That's right, word of mouth.
You've talked about this before in regard to sexual harassment.
Yes.
So if the guy's gross and creepy and ugly, you're like, hey, boss, I can't work here anymore. If it's George Clooney, you're the happiest lady alive.
Yes. That's why it's hard to define.
That's right.
Right, because creepy guys don't know they're creepy. That's part of what makes them creepy.
It's so true.
piece of business you need to know, and I'm looking at a few of you. Like, you need to think that that big chunk of turquoise silver pinky ring is hot on you. And, you know, smoking those long brown Moore cigarettes really adds something to your general demeanor, you know. Like, you need to think this is good. The creepy guys don't know they're creepy. There should be a whole service where women, or lesbians preferably, come up to those guys and just go, you know, you're at a 7.5 in the creepitude here.
Ironically enough, is it creepy to ask someone if you're creepy?
Mm. Good
question. Is that a creepy move?
One of the tells of creepy is introducing women you're fucking as your lady friend. That's a sign of creep right there.
No, you're absolutely right.
Right. Just whatever her name is, you can just go, boom, this is Shelly. But if you go, my lady friend.
Yeah, you're right.
Now we're in the creep zone.
And I get it. Most of us, we have tight backs. I used to be 7 cup sizes bigger. I know what it's like to have a sore back. Don't come up and try and give me a fucking back rub.
Oh, that's the a back big rub.
One. Nobody
yeah.
wants the hands.
No, I've tried a few of those. When a guy... No, I'm just saying, the guy offering the back rub and he has to negotiate the bra strap...
Oh.
That's the move where you go, like, I can't.
This would be a lot easier.
I'd like to give you, not at work, I just mean, you know, third date.
To what do I expect on Monday?
I'd like to give you a massage, you know, but I can't negotiate this 7/8 of nylon that crosses your.
Right.
Guys get caught up in that. It's a lot like when OJ was trying the glove on. Like, I can't. How can I get to your shoulders with this wisp of yarn 9 inches below it? I can't negotiate this.
Oh, that makes sense. I get it. Let's talk about a woman who you might find to be a hero. You know, we do a lot of crow talk on the show. Lately, a lot of bee talk. And I'm glad. I think we're all better for it because... A Massachusetts woman is in jail on assault and battery charges for dispatching an army of bees to attack a sheriff's deputy.
Wow.
Yes. That's not bad.
During a home eviction, 55-year-old Rory Susan Woods was not the tenant of the house.
Look, I'm going to take a turn for the racial here, but I think everyone knows if those were Africanized killer bees, he would have shot every single one of them. LeBron sent a tweet out. That was the gist of it.
There's a reason we haven't heard about it until now.
That's right.
So she still holds a grudge from the same sheriff who kicked her out of her house. So when she saw her friend being kicked out of their house, she showed up with a trailer full of beehives to protest what they were doing. The bees swarmed the deputies, sent one deputy to the hospital, and she was arrested.
Hmm. I like her sort of Aquawoman dominion over
the bees.
Insects kind of vibe.
Did they form an arrow?
Yeah, they just kept stinging him in the ass as he was running down a dirt road. I don't know. Look, I don't condone what this woman did, but I'll hire her when she gets out.
Oh, yeah.
This is someone you definitely want working for you, not for the competition.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This is a PSA for all you gentlemen out there. I think you should take a note from the ladies. It turns out that men might be peeing completely wrong. So if you're taking out places like Japan, where 70% of men reportedly sit when peeing, much of the world prefers to stand. Don't laugh, because an enlarged prostate or other lower urinary tract symptoms, they happen less.
You can't sit when you're peeing as a dude, because if anyone sees you, you're shitting. Yeah. And now they're seeing you shit. You're not going to be able to explain, oh, no, I got this Japanese friend. Oh, come on.
I'm voiding my bladder more fully.
Yeah.
The prostate?
No, they're not going to buy it.
Well, the scientists came up with this thing called the Water Angle Navigation Guide. Can
you
anyone figure out that acronym?
Who, are there any other guys that are this as dumb as I am when I pee? Tell me if any dudes do this. It's kind of a newer thing for me, though. It is sad. I stand over the toilet, the seat's down, and then I go, I should lift the seat up. And then I think, no, I can do this. And then I go, oh, just lift the seat. I go, no, I don't want to have to squat down 9 inches and move 14 ounces of plastic. I can thread this needle. And then I take a piss, and about 80% of it goes as planned. But somewhere at the end, I notice there's some droplets around the seat, and then I got to get the toilet paper out and wipe the whole seat down. And between the process of wiping the seat down and having this sort of conundrum where I'm arguing with myself silently about lifting the seat, I should probably just lift the seat. But does anyone else do that? You do that? That's,
somebody's
that's
being outed.
Move.
A few ladies pointing at men.
Yeah.
Also,
Adam, you, sorry to interrupt. You have a great phrase for this, which is, you're not as good as you think you are.
That's right. I know. And I should just, I'm just going to start lifting it. Also, basically, your dick gasket is no different than the faucet 3 foot away from where you're pissing. That 56-year-old gasket on that faucet, it does not seal shut anymore.
Got it.
You don't slam that handle down and have it just stop like it did when you were new. You shut that handle, it keeps dripping for a little bit.
Got
it. How about when you first turn it on, it's not just the perfect stream, it's...
Yeah. I'll do the pickle fork once in a while now, but... I'm just going to have to start lifting the seat.
Wait a second. Sorry to have to ask this here, but is there one hole or is there not one hole? Because when you're talking about it, it sprays everywhere. Do you have little, like, pinpricks there?
I would... I'm not a urologist.
It's a mystery.
It's a mystery. It's a thing that sometimes it comes out like your urethra was rifled. Sometimes I can see it rotating as it goes into the toilet, and then other times it'll split the toilet and miss it altogether. Half in the potpourri basket, half on the magazine rack. Like, it will split. I don't know.
Gina, does the snake have one tongue or two?
It is forked.
Should
we do with you guys what you're supposed to do with little kids? And you, like, don't you, like, throw Cheerios in the toilet and tell them to aim? You guys have heard this, yes?
This is disgusting.
Oh, okay. Really?
I thought that's what you're supposed to do. You put Cheerios in the toilet, and you're like, go for it. That's your mark.
For number one. For number two, you do Count Chocula.
There it is.
Stay in the medical world for a hot second. I would like a show of hands when I'm done to see who would go to this doctor. An Ohio doctor named Howard Tucker says he has no plans to retire anytime soon. Good for him. However, he is 100 years old. He is the Guinness World Record holder for the oldest practicing doctor, a record he's actually had since he turned 98. He still works a full day from 9 to 6, seeing patients, teaching residents. His young wife, at 89, she's a psychoanalyst and also continues to work, asked if he ever intends to retire. He said, gosh, no. I believe retirement is the enemy of longevity.
Well, he can't do, but he's a doctor, because everyone over 100... They always do that thing where they go, what's your key to longevity? And they go, I only eat canned ham and Jack Daniels, and I smoke 3 packs of Pall Malls a day. So he can't give that advice.
No, that's not him.
It really depends what kind of doctor he is, right? Like, if he's a psychiatrist, by all means, doctors help out. But if he's a surgeon,
he's a family doctor who's probably still strapping women to tables from hysteria and like using vibrators on them. Like, he's 100. When did he go to medical school?
Well, I'm due for another colonoscopy coming up.
Live show in Ohio.
I need a steady hand.
Dr. Tucker.
I like an experienced hand, but I'm also looking for a steady hand.
You might enjoy a not-so-steady hand.
I don't want this guy trying to find the opening. You know what I mean? Getting jabbed in the back of the sack, taking another poke in the small of the back. You know what I mean?
Oh, my kidney.
Yeah.
But once he's in there, it might be delightful. With a bit of a palsy. I'm not insane.
Do they, I was so far gone, I didn't know when I got my, colonoscopy. You know, it's even hard to find the words, but... So I had a few things. I have told everyone the story. I'm not going to get into it. But they roll you over on your side. But that's not enough for me. You're going to need to work the cheek area a little bit. You can't just roll me over on my side.
I've not had the pleasure, so it's what you're talking about.
Well, if you and I were sleeping in the same bed and I was sleeping on my side and I was naked... You would not see my asshole. You would have to root around for it a little bit, which I assume you would.
Yeah.
You could lift a cheek.
Yeah. And expose it.
But there's got to be some sort of cheek wedge or something. I mean, they have rib spreaders.
Yep.
Why not cheek wedgers? You know what I mean? There's got to be a device, a speculum. Someone's got to get in there with a bottle jack or something. And you know what I mean?
You mentioned the propofol. Do you start off on your side, and do they take care of the rest?
You start off on your side, and they take care of it. They take care of the rest. But I don't know if... The person in charge of dabbing the guy's forehead also holds a cheek, or they have a cheek wedge.
Got two hands.
Or the guy just uses like a flip-flop or something.
Like a doorstop?
Yeah, like a doorstop. I'm going to ask.
I wouldn't.
Okay.
This would never happen in San Diego because we've already established this as Shangri-La, but everywhere else. Please mind your manners. It could save somebody's life. It could be yours. A Connecticut man pulled a gun on two women after they didn't thank him for holding the door for them at a store. 25-year-old Joshua Murray was at the Family Dollar store recently when he became incensed over the women's rudeness. Murray allegedly whipped out a pistol during the encounter, then ran. He was picked up by officers nearby. The suspect was charged with carrying an illegal gun, breaching the peace, interfering with a cop, and being held on $25,000 bail.
First off, what? So he was courteous to them, but they did not.
But like every man, he expected something in return.
Yeah. I don't. First off, what's up at the dollar store? I mean, I just. First off, don't those places all smell weird?
Yeah.
And
I mean, I wouldn't know.
Secondly, who do you hope to meet at the dollar store? Like, oh, you're destitute? I'm destitute. We should have kids. We should have a bunch of poor kids together. And as far as holding the door, hold the door, but whoever you're holding the door for did not graduate from finishing school.
Right.
And you're not going to get any thank you, kind sir. Shades of Sir Walter Raleigh. He laid his cape down so a lady didn't get her feet wet.
That's right.
It cannot be a real story, right?
Some people are just looking to brandish a weapon.
Yes, yeah.
They don't need much.
All right, let's do one more.
Oh, good. Well, this is something I think most people can get behind. The convenience store chain Circle K has made history by signing a deal with Green Thumb Industries. What do they sell? That's right.
Yeah.
Which is one of the largest cannabis producers in the United States. If everything goes according to plan, Circle K, 10 Circle K stores in Florida, will be licensed to sell weed.
Listen, we made a mistake with pot. And the mistake we made with pot is reefer madness. Everyone, the man went like, oh, you take one toke off of one marijuana cigarette, and you'll be up on the roof thinking you can fly, and you'll plunge to your death. And we went all berserk about pot. We're so tight about pot, and everyone went nuts about pot. And then at a certain point, that gave way to a whole group, a counterculture group, who pushed back. And they didn't push back and go, pot's not as bad as you say it is. They pushed back and said, it's a magical drug that's good for all that ails you, and we should all smoke pot. And now pot is really potent, and we have a bunch of dumb people that are fucking high all the time, and it's not going to make for a great society. And the thing, look, you got a martini on the table there. You're drinking a martini, but I'm guessing you don't drink. You don't do it shortly after you wake up, right? You come out at night, you see a top flight comedian at the height of his powers. He seems to defy time. An inspirational, motivational, gifted performer, and then you have your martini. But a lot of assholes get stoned before they go to work, and they think somehow that that makes them better at their job and or becomes some sort of necessary part of life for them to get through. And we're heading for some sort of scary abyss. There's going to be a lot of fucking dumb stoned people, and we're going to have to deal with all their asses.
You're absolutely right. But don't they also already sell, like, trucker meth at gas stations, like the no-dos or whatever?
Everything they... I mean, it's all... First off, we're fucked. There's 27 different kinds of booze that are made for kids and retarded adults, you know? Oh, this one tastes like a clown. It's a clown-flavored spike seltzer. By the way, they leave all those fucking people alone. Have you noticed that? Like, they got a good lobby. Because in California, well, we're in California, which is a cleaner part.
But doesn't feel like it.
They have all those props now. One of them is to get rid of the vaping because they want to make the vape pens illegal because they're bubblegum flavored and they're candy corn flavored. And you're like, obviously, those are for children. Fine. But the spiked seltzer that tastes like a clown is also for children. They don't seem to have a problemo with
that. Lobby.
There are full-grown adults that are like, ooh, birthday cake-flavored vodka.
Oh, my God. Oh. All right, so I'm telling you, I'm not uptight. I don't care if everyone chokes out. It's not a big deal to me, but the fucking pot is super high octane now, and we're going to be dealing with a lot of dumb fucks because we're dealing with a lot of people that smoke pot all day, every day, starting at age 16 and a half, and at some point we're going to attempt to employ them when they're 24, and it's going to be a fucking mess. Sorry.
All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. Gina, Gina, that was the news with Gina Grad.
All right, give it up for Paul Bryan and Gina Grad up here.
Thank you.
We're going to bring up our ball puller, which is Isaac. Isaac is going to come out here. He's 44. He's a worship pastor. Know what that is. Come up there. Have a seat over there, Isaac. Your worship pastor. Chris will sit you down there. So, I don't know what a worship pastor is, but you spend all day trying to convince teens they're not gay? Is that kind of the gist?
Yes, next question.
That's your specialty. I try to talk young teens into being gay because that's more snatch for me, you know. I don't want to. Some of these guys are going to be studs, and I don't need that kind of competition. So what do you do all day, Isaac?
Our church has a worship team of musicians, and mm-hmm. I just put the set list together and make sure the musicians have their sheet music and...
Who's the number one Christian rock band of all time? Jars of Clay, Puddle of Mud, who had something to do with dirt?
Striper
number one? Who's number one?
I think right now Hillsong is on top.
Hillsong's number one?
They're an Australian church.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And they rock?
They as much as they could.
There's a limit to rocking if you're Christian?
No, I mean, they do a good job.
They're good?
Yeah.
All right. Do you play an instrument?
I'm a drummer and a singer.
Drummer and a singer. Oh, like that guy from the Romantics, man. He drummed and sang.
I actually don't drum anymore because the drummers that I have are better than me, so like...
Like Karen Carpenter. Karen Carpenter was a drummer, and they moved her ass up front because she could fucking sing like an angel.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, like, yeah. Karen Carpenter.
No, so you're looking at the...
That's going to be on my tombstone.
He's been called a husky Karen Carpenter many times. All right, you ready to pull some balls, Isaac?
Yeah, absolutely.
You spin that thing. I've never been able to figure that out, but you go one way or the other. Ah, that's the way you go. There you go.
August.
Well, there's Mike August, and there's one thing I like about Mike August, and I like anybody who's done this, and you can clap if you've done this. Mike August's last name is not August, it's Tamarillo. But people spend too much time trying to spell Tamarillo, and he spends too much time trying to tell people how to pronounce Tamarillo, and they think it's Tamarillo, but it's Tamarillo because it's Italian, and blah, blah, blah. His middle name is August, so he went with August because he doesn't have a big fucking ego, and he's not correcting people how to say his name, because here's the deal with people. It'll just take me a minute. Well, let's really delve down on this. I'll drill down. I've never done this. I've never thought about this. I'm having a thought in real time. And it's good in my head right now. My thought, super poignant and funny. Now, there's no guarantees that it's going to leave my mouth and hit your ears as the shape it's in right now inside of my head. Sometimes that happens when someone says to draw something. If you ever play a drawing game and someone's, you know, you look at the thing and it's like, Wilford Brimley. Okay, I got it. In your head you got it. Tell your fucking hand. So right now I got a thought. It's good. But we may scrub off a few points when you guys hear it. But... think about your name. Your name, for people you know and people you interact with, coworkers, classmates, family members, spouses, kids, and stuff like that, they know your name. You never really have to get into it. The only people you really tell your name to are strangers. Like when you go to Starbucks or you're checking into a hotel or whatever. It's all people you'll never see again, for the most part, who you're introducing your name to. So, with that in mind, just give them a super easy version of your fucking name. Because I don't know who these assholes are. First off, there's these people who have names that sound like popular names, but they put their own fucking retarded flavor on them. You know, it's Taryn. I'm sorry, Karen? Taryn! Okay, I'm writing it on a fucking cup. Really want to burn calories with this interaction. So Mike August is either super shrewd or fucking lazy, but he doesn't want to go through his life telling people he's never going to see again. You know, it's sort of like that thing, like you ever do that thing where like you go somewhere, whatever, you're in some airport or something and you left your backpack or something and you say to the bitch who's working the thing, you go, can I just get off? Can I go back and grab my backpack? And she goes, okay, but just this one time. It's like, I'm never going to see you again. Yes, it will be this one time. We're in Phoenix. It's Sunday. It's 9 a.m. This is never going to happen. We're never going to see you again. Why do I have to spend so much time telling you how to pronounce my name? So that's where Mike August is smart. But he does do a thing. Maybe someone has a special needs child that does this as well. 121. If you go to a meal with Mike, he cuts all his food up before he eats. So he could get an omelet and hash browns and, you know, side of whatever, and he mashes it all up. Lasagna, steak and veggies, mashed potatoes, it all gets all chopped up. And it'll drive you nuts when you're eating with him because he might get a mess on his plate. And then if you say to him, why do you do that, Mike? He goes, it's the way I used to do it when I was growing up. And I'd be like, yeah, well, my uncle raped me when I was 9. But I don't try to reenact that every time I go out to eat. Sorry, go ahead, Isaac.
To your point, my name is Abel, but I go by Isaac because a lot of people commonly know Isaac more than Abel.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. So it's just kind of like reinforcing what you just said.
Oh, you're an Isaac enabler.
Ace Abel Isaac. Yeah.
So what was your dad like? What other fucked up name from the Bible can we name
his,
this one?
His name is Abel, and fun fact, his brother's name is Cain.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's insane.
Now, wait a minute. Did Cain kill Abel? Did Abel kill Cain?
Yeah, he sure did.
Cain killed Abel.
Cain killed Abel.
All right. Wow.
Yeah.
Why?
Parents, his parents, my grandparents were like ultra-religious.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah.
And what are you, semi-religious?
No, I mean, I wouldn't. My daughter's name is Elise, so I guess I'm less religious than them based off of that. But yeah. It's funny because at McDonald's today, I said Abel, and he's like, oh, my cousin's the workers. My cousin's name is Abel. I'm like, oh, well, I have an uncle named Cain. He's like, oh. Like, he didn't register with him, but right. I was kind of satisfied that everybody groaned when I said Cain.
Yeah, we don't. Yeah, yeah. We're quickly all becoming heathens, I think. And we've completely lost religion. And, I'm an atheist, so my feeling is I am fine not believing in Jesus Christ, but all you other fuckers, get with the program. I'm tired of your fucking horrible lifestyle affecting me. You should have some fear of going somewhere other than up after you die. I would like to live in a world where everyone was scared except for me. There's no way I'm going to hell. Oh, my tombstone's going to read, you fuckers are on your own now. Thank you. Sorry for the language.
Sheck.
Like a damn a sheck. Oh, grab me another ball. I even did Mike August. Well, listen, this is too inside baseball.
Duluth, Minnesota.
Duluth, Minnesota. Well, that's two words, but we can do Duluth, Minnesota. I don't know. Minnesota is curious to me because Minnesota, when I was growing up, was Minnesota. It was Bud Grant, the coach of the Minnesota Vikings. It was the Purple People Eaters. That was the front four of the Minnesota Vikings. It was Paul Bunyan and his ox. Babe is ox. Don't name your ox Babe. There's a lot of lonely nights. A lot of cold nights where you've been drinking and seeking comfort in the arms of an ox. And you name that ox Troy, you'll leave it alone. But Minnesota was the broad shoulder, that dude's a dude, you know, people slathered utter bomb on themselves and went ice fishing and got drunk in a hut over a hole on a frozen river. And it turned into some sort of woke fest over there lately with, some of the squad members are from Minnesota, and they're the tip of the spear on, like, defunding the police and all that. And all I'm saying is, when did Minnesota turn into Fire Island? Or fucking San Francisco or Venice Beach? You guys are fucking Minnesota. You're salt of the earth. You're casserole based. When the fuck did you guys get all woke and progressive? And by the way, what chance do the rest of us have if fucking the home of Bud Grant and Paul Bunyan and casseroles is now wearing wooden beaded bracelets and giving out your fucking pronouns? Get your shit together, Minnesota. Thank you. And more specifically, Duluth.
Two words, Jimmy Kimmel.
Jimmy Kimmel. All right. I like Jimmy. People want to know, like, people are always like, oh, you guys sound so different now. Your politics are so different. You know, what are you doing? Why are you, you're still friends with that guy? I'm like, yeah, because we're friends. That's how it works. I like the guy. It's not, we don't sit around and, you know, do Face the Nation. We sit around and make fun of people who aren't eating with us. That's our greatest joy. We like to go out to eat and then make fun of people who aren't at the table we're at. Super generous guy, super nice guy. Got me started in show business. Now I'm ending it here tonight, but he did initially get me going. And he's the best guy I've ever met, and I owe him my career. So why? And we laugh our asses off when we're together. And I will just I will end it with this. People would say to me a lot, like you do a lot of interviews, and they'd go, "Could you do the Man Show today, huh?" And they've been asking me that for like 8 or 10 years. Like, you think you could do the Man Show today? And I finally came up with a satisfying answer, which is they go, "Do you think you could do the Man Show today?" And I go, "I could." Thanks, you guys, for coming out tonight. Put your hands together for Orthodox Isaac over here. Good. Oh, give it a fist bump, my brother. And until next time, this is Adam Kroll for Isaac and Paul Bryan and Gina Grad saying, mahalo!
Make sure you pick up a copy of Adam's new book, Everything Reminds Me of Something. It's available everywhere finer books are sold. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 and get your tickets to see Adam Carolla at adamcarolla.com.
You own, do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Get around for Halloween with Pluto TV's 31 Nights of Horror. All month long, Pluto TV is bringing you the best Halloween movies, shows, and more. Watch classic horror movies like The Grudge or The Blair Witch Project, or scream along with your favorite stars like Ryan Reynolds in Life. Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies and TV shows. The best part, it's so free, it's chilling. No credit card, no sign up, no fees. Download the Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start screaming now.